we're going first with me rolls today.
We'll keep it in the same order.
We'll go same order, mate.
We can always change it for next season. I might go first. I might read the fight out.
I don't know yet. I've not looked into it yet, but my management aren't happy about me always going first.
Thing is, though, Ian, you've got most details. You've got to go last.
Do you go quiet?
And how you're the one that's not won so far as well.
Sorry, mate.
Just go quiet so I can bring us in.
Just murmuring shy.
Now I've got to wait again.
Instead of just grumbling and shit.
Just like Brucey said, it's time for Season 2 of Fight Predictions. Join myself, Ian Hurst, Musa Christian, Oliver Harriet, as we predict all the biggest up-and-coming fights in the world of MMA and combat. Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to another episode of Fight Predictions. This one is for UFC 263. Before we get into this one, we'll recap the last one we did. As always, I'm joined by the former champ, Musa Christian. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
And the other guy known as the new former champ, Oliver Harriet. How are we?
Yeah, I've been better, actually. I'm missing my belt already.
Yeah. Obviously, I had an absolute blinder on the last one. It's probably the best card I've ever had. And it's been coming because it's been about 5 months of doing my own show. And I finally actually got a good card behind me. So obviously, now I'm in the lead. I'm currently on 45. Musa, you're just slightly behind me by 7 points on 38. And all you've slipped quite far behind on 32. So 13 points behind. We're looking at maybe this one and maybe two more to finish the season off. So it's still all to play for. Yeah, loads of points to be had.
As soon as you get a lead, it's like, right, we're just looking to wrap this up now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, it's the first time I've been in the lead with the belt, so obviously brought it back for me today. Don't look happy at all.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the gap there. Went from being in the lead to literally being last place.
4 points ahead to 13 behind.
Yeah, I know. That bit of a shocker, weren't it? I think I went for a few crazy picks last week and they didn't quite work out, did they?
Yeah, Jacare Souza. Yeah, you went 7 points.
Tony Ferguson. We'll not talk about that.
Yeah, so obviously it's been about four weeks since we did one. Again, we've also been busy, but not just that. The cards between the last one and this one have been pretty weak. We watch them anyway, but we could do with a little bit higher level of competition. I think we are going to get a couple more fight nights done this season. Obviously, there's a Zombie versus Ige coming up. And we're also looking at Cyril Gane versus Volkov. That's a great fight. So let's just go over UFC 262. What did you both think? Obviously, Oliveira beat Chandler. Ferguson obviously lost as well. That was quite heartbreaking. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really good card. And I think there were a lot of fights on there that, you know, could have gone either way. And, you know, you're a bit like humming and ahhing it, weren't you? So
it was a tough one to predict.
I'll tell you two fights that couldn't have gone either way. And that's Jacare Souza and Tony Ferguson.
you know something, though? I was watching the pre-fight press conference, right? And Tony's there talking about how we slammed his student and broke his collarbone or something. And I thought, why have I picked this guy?
I'm pretty sure, though, Musa, you went Souza as well.
I did pick Souza as well, yeah. I didn't throw 7 points at
that. Yeah, I remember I wasn't very confident going into that. And then as the predictions episode went on and some of both your picks, to be fair, most of yours weren't quite as bad as some of Rawls. But as it was going on, I was getting more confident. Obviously, the Hermanson versus Shabazzian fight got pushed back a week.
And that was my big lumper, wasn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, but we've tallied those points up. We've added them on now. So instead of 10 points behind Musa, you're now 7 points behind me. Yeah. So you both went a little bit more on that one than I did. But we all got that one right with Hermanson.
Are we all in agreement Jacare Souza's the hardest man in the world, though, now? Or what? You have to be...
That's
he
tough.
Took that arm break like a champ, didn't he? He was posing for pictures at the end of it. It
reminds me of Nogueira when he got his arm broken and he wouldn't tap.
Yeah, Brazilians or Renzo Gracie back in the day when he got his arm absolutely shattered and was just there smiling at the end.
Yeah, they just...
Souza got his arm broken before, didn't he? Buchecha got his arm broken.
What, in a grappling match?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he tucked it down his belt, didn't he? He was in a gi and he tucked it down. In fact, it was one of the Gracies, in fact, wasn't it? And he went on to win the fight.
I don't know. I think I did hear him say something about it. He tucked it in his belt. Yeah, obviously, Chandler Oliveira was back and forth, and Oliveira got the better of him in the end. There was no way of predicting that. Obviously, Oliveira did win, like I just said, but Chandler nearly finished him that first round.
Should have been stopped, mate. I'd have been in the lead.
You might be in the lead now if that happened, but obviously, the Ferguson fight, Hermanson got pushed back. We had the Chikagian versus Araujo. I know. Well, you're not happy about that decision.
Oh, damn right, I'm not happy about it. I think she got stitched right up there. But no, it was a close fight, wasn't it? I think come out on fire, didn't she? Come out very, very hot out the gates.
Yeah.
And, I think the cardio got the better of her, though. And Chikagian was still there at the end, weren't she? Still throwing shots.
What, did you have Araujo winning 1 and 2, did you?
Yeah, I think she won 1 and 2.
There's an argument for it. And I thought Araujo did better than I thought she was going to do.
Well, she nearly subbed her, didn't she, though, in the second, which I think, you know, you've got to give the... You get a dominant position like Mount on someone and she had a guillotine on her, you know, sunk in. You're pretty much winning the round. You could even argue that's a 10-8 round, can't you?
Yeah, we actually all together, collectively, put more points on that fight than any other fight on that card.
Really?
I obviously went 7 on Chikagian, Muscle went 6, and you went 6 on Araujo. So that fight had more points on the line than any other fight on the card.
Had that gone your way, Oles, actually, looking at it, you might have been in the lead, actually. Because he would have got 6 points and you'd have lost 6 points.
It'd have been close. It'd have been...
Oh, you'd have been 1 point ahead.
Yeah.
1 point ahead, so... Made all the difference, didn't it, that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll move... Obviously, there was the... Before we move on, the Venata and Grundy one as well. That was close.
And I had Grundy winning that, to be fair.
I gave it Venata, not just because I had picked him for 1 point, but it was dead close.
Yeah, I thought he had more success, didn't he? He had more success. Grundy didn't really do much of his takedowns, did he? And when he did get the takedowns, Venata was straight back up again.
Yeah, he looked flashier, whether he was actually landing decisive blows. He just looked a bit flashier.
It's how you score takedowns and stuff as well, isn't it? Like you say, if you don't really do much with him, what are they worth? But I always think they should be scored quite highly, because if it was a street fight, like a fight, it's definitely you're outside on the street, you take someone down, like, do you know what I mean? You do a lot of damage. Yeah. So it's only the fact that it's a matted area which makes it...
That is true, yeah. You mean the actual impact of just a takedown itself.
Yeah. It was close. Obviously, we're not judges, but it worked in my favour, both fights. Moving on, though, UFC 263. Let's see if this works in my favour. I don't feel confident at all in this card. It's the first time they've ever done a 5-round fight that's not a main event or a title fight. That shows the power of Nate Diaz and sort of his demands. I think we can sort of work out why he thinks that'd be better for him. I actually think it favours Edwards.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's all to do.
Going off the fact that, like I've just said, what I said at the beginning, there's quite a lot of weak cards around this card. This one's so stacked that some of the fights that we're not predicting are better than a lot of the fight night cards. We're not going to do the Eric Anders rematch with Darren Stewart.
Yeah,
we haven't got that one on.
Hakeem Duodo, the featherweight versus Alvey, is it? Muhammad Alvey or something?
Yeah, I know you're quite big on him, aren't you?
I just think that would be a sick fight because it's 12-1 versus 14-0.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some really good fights. But obviously, pay-per-views, we do 7 fights. Fight nights, we do 6. So we've got 7 ready to go. So let's get into it. So we'll start with Drew Dober versus Brad Riddle at lightweight. Drew Dober, 23-10. Brad Riddle, 9-1. Musa, who have you got?
I think this is potential fight of the night candidate. But I'm going with Drew Dober, me. I've already liked him. I was already quite hot on him. But then after seeing him against Makhachev, I love that style. He's a dog. Comes to fight. I just like to see him get it done. And I think he's got enough about him to get it done. I think he could potentially, in the next 12 to 18 months, end up in the top 10. I'm going to Dober. I'm going 3 points on Dober.
3 prediction points on Dober. So, who have you got?
That's the Milstria back to plagiarising my choices again.
I'm so, pretty sure it was the other way around, but go on.
Yeah, but no, I did the same. I went 3 points on Drew Dober. Just looking at the stats on them both, you know, Dober's his 11th fight in the UFC. I think he's very well-rounded. He's also the bookie's favourite. And I think as well, in the last 4 years, he's only been beaten by Makhachev and by Benil Dariush as well. Were, yeah. You know, both very, very good fighters. So I think he's got a bit more pedigree about him. And I think it'll be a good fight. You know, definitely wouldn't count out Brad Riddle. But no, I think Drew Dober takes it.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, this will be Drew Dober's 34th pro MMA fight. And it'll be Brad Riddle's 11th. So there's a massive experience advantage there. Brad Riddle, he comes out of the same camp as Adesanya. See a kickboxing in New Zealand. He's predominantly a striker. If you look at Drew Dober, though, his last four losses were all by sub from 2015 to 2021. No one seems to be able to beat him up on the feet. No one seems to outpoint him. They have to take him down. They have to sub him if they're going to get the win. And with Brad Riddle predominantly being a striker, I think this is going to be a stand-up war. And I'm expecting Drew Dober to come out on top of this. I'm going to go 4 confidence, 4 prediction points.
Nearly.
I'm going to go 4 prediction points on Drew Dober. I agree with you both.
Yeah, I think just the dog in him is going to separate the two. Yeah. I just think he's, yeah.
I don't see Riddle getting a sub. His last 4 wins were decision, Riddle. So he doesn't seem to be stopping people either. He's just outpointing people. I don't see that happening to Drew Dober. No one seems to get him. Outpoint him, sorry. But anyway, let's move on. So we've got, in the women's flyweight division, 37-year-old Laura Murphy, 14-4, against 35-year-old Joanna... Not Joanna.
Joanna.
Joanna. She's very Joanna. Scottish.
She's not Polish, is she?
Joanna Calderwood, 15-5. I honestly didn't realise Calderwood was 35 years old. I thought she was younger than that.
Yeah,
they're both getting up there in age, 37 and 35. So, Musa, who have you got and how many points?
She looks well, Joe, don't she, for that age? yeah, I like this one. I think it's possibly a title eliminator. I don't know if they've officially made it that, but it's kind of unofficially, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be unofficially.
Yeah, yeah. Probably Calderwood's last run at it now, really, isn't it? I rate Calderwood. I think Muay Thai's excellent. Striking's really good. Only thing I worry about her sometimes is subs. When she loses, she either loses it. She never gets finished, like, on the feet. She either loses a decision or she gets subbed. She's been subbed a couple of times. But I think Calderwood's got too much for her. Plus, she's Scottish, and I always have to back the Brit. It's the unofficial rule. So, yeah, I'm going Calderwood. But I'm only going 1 point.
1 point on Calderwood?
Yeah.
So, Olu, have you got?
Similar, not too far away. I went 2 points on Calderwood. Just looking at her on her last performance against Jessica Rai, I thought she looked very sharp. Good on the feet, good takedown defence as well. She's a bit younger, and also she's the bookie's favourite as well. So I think that, you know, it's coming off a, you know, it's a pretty big win, wouldn't you, against Jessica Rai?
Yeah,
I'd give her the edge. I'm not super confident, but, you know, definitely give her the edge in that fight.
Yep, so you've both gone for Calderwood. Must you went
just
what?
A 1 point on Calderwood.
One,
yeah.
And how many did you go off?
I went 2 points.
Two yeah. On Calderwood. It's tough, this one, because I always feel like I end up going against the Brit.
You always do.
And I don't mean to do it. I go on sort of what I actually feel or think. I'm struggling to side with Murphy on here, but I always feel like Calderwood comes in as the favourite, and I haven't seen out of her what everyone else seems to expect from her. They all seem to think that she's a top challenger in this division. Every time I watch a fight, I don't quite see it yet. I feel like she's still making those... sort of filling them gaps in, even though she's 35.
I'm going to say you don't want to be filling gaps at 35, do you?
No. Murphy, 4-0 in her last 4, obviously, with 2 finishes and 2 subs. Or decisions, sorry. 2 finishes and 2 decisions. JoJo, she's 3-2 in her last 5. But she's arguably fought better competition than Murphy has. Murphy's only got 1 sub win, which seems to be JoJo's weakness. She always seems to lose by sub. Or just getting out wrestled. But Murphy's not a big sort of submission artist. She's only got 1 sub in her entire career, and that was in the last fight. So I don't know if she's trying to turn that corner. I'm going to lean with Murphy on this one. That's what I've written down. She's 4-0 in the last 4. I think she might be fighting for the title next. I don't think she's got a chance of winning it against Shevchenko. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a puncher's chance, but Shevchenko's just too much for either of these two girls, I think. I'm going to go 3 points on Murphy. Next fight, it's Paul Bairdieu Craig, 33 years old, with a record of 14-4-1 against Jamal Hill. I don't know if he's got a fight name. 30 years old with a record of 8-0, undefeated. Mushroom, have you got, and how many points?
I'm going to have to. I know I always came to going with a Brit, but I'm going against a Brit this time. I looked every which way. I was trying to think, is there a way he wins this fight? I don't see a path to victory for him. I think Jamal Hill's just in the right stage of his career. I think he's a better all-round fighter. I don't know, but you might be wrong. From looking at him over, I don't see the path to victory for Paul Craig here at all. So I'm quite confidently lumping on Jamal Hill, and I'm putting 6 points on him.
6 points on Hill.
Throwing down on Hill.
Throwing down on Hill, yeah. And I do hate to do it because I do try and back the Brit where I can, but.
Yeah, I get why. So, all who have you got and how many points?
Yeah, same. I went for Jamal Hill. I think coming off a big knockout of OSP, you know, he's one of the guys that's always up there, isn't he, in the division.
Yep.
And I think Craig struggles with explosive strikers. You know, I think you look at his losses. And
I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Lit up there on the feet, and say lit up on the feet, but he gets knocked out, doesn't he? I think if you ever see him winning, he has to first of all get his opponent to the floor, and then he has to dominate him on the floor.
Yeah, other than really Shogun in his last fight, but that's a very old Shogun. Yeah,
and let's have it right, he didn't beat Shogun, did he? He beat whatever shadow of Shogun.
So I think you've got to give it. I think pretty confident on Hill, not lumping on him though, but 4 points on Hill.
Four on Hill. So for me, I'm very much in the same camp as you two on this one. I want to go with Paul Craig, but I don't see his path to victory. Obviously, he's more of a submission guy. His wrestling's okay, but it's not great. And if you're going to win by submission, you've got to get it to the ground. And I don't think he's going to be able to get Jamal Hill down. He's a massive favourite in this, Jamal Hill. -305 against Paul Craig, who was a +235. Obviously, like you say, all Hill's last win was OSP by KO, which is a big win. Craig's 2-0-1 in his last three, so two wins and a draw. Pretty sure those two wins were over Shogun, though. Or one of the draw was against Shogun.
Yeah, draw against Shogun, win against Shogun.
And then he beat Shogun, yeah, that's right.
He beat Antigulov, which is a good win to have, by a triangle choke in between that. So
right.
But
here's a good stat for you. In Paul Craig's career, all 14 wins he's had in his career are all by finish. He's never won by decision.
Yeah, that's a
every single win that he's got 12 subs and two KOs.
In fact, wait a minute. I'm just looking through his record here. I don't know how none of us have picked up on this. Guess who he fought in his fourth professional fight?
What?
Paul Craig. Our mate Dan Konecki.
Did he?
Did he really?
Yeah.
How did that go?
He beat Dan Konecki by TKO in round one.
Right.
So, sorry about bringing that up, Dan, if you're listening.
So, two of his KOs or TKOs on his record, one's Dan Konecki.
Yeah.
What was that at middleweight or at light heavyweight?
At light heavyweight. So, and also, if you know Dan Konecki, he probably didn't train for that fight and just, you know what I mean, probably got back off a holiday, jumped in.
Possible.
So,
needed some money.
But yeah, so all Craig's wins have been by finish. Obviously, he's got a big win over, what's the Russian guy he's like one of the big prospects in the division now. He beat him in the last second of the last round. See if I can get it up.
Ankalaev.
Who's going to be like a future top five guy easily.
Yeah.
He's a but yeah.
Is that him that beat, that was called Kutaliba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat Paul Craig submitted him in the last second, the last round. If he'd just held on for a second, and it was a choke as well. If he just held on for a second, he'd have won.
Did he tap or did he go out? He
tapped.
Did he tap?
Yeah.
I bet he's screwing.
And he was
that.
Destroying him for the entire fight. Absolutely
choke
smashing him
as well.
Yeah, he has got good jiu-jitsu, that's the thing. You know, when you see him, like, if he gets a hold of you and he gets you down, and he's very active, isn't he? Busy when he, as soon as he gets it, he's looking for the sub. He's not trying to hold top position.
No, you're right.
I think he's going to struggle, though.
He's got to get him down. For me, I'm going to go with Jamal Hill for 5 prediction points.
5 points.
Next fight. It's the veteran Damian Maia, 43 years old, with a record of 28-10, against Bilal Muhammad, 32 years old, 18-3. Musa, who have you got?
I'd love to go with Damian Maia because, you know what I mean, I think we're all Damian Maia fans. what he does jiu-jitsu wise is like nothing short of magical. But I just think it's probably in the wrong stage of his career. And Bilal Muhammad's a rising prospect. I think Bilal Muhammad's in that tier of like tier two in the division.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not quite, I don't rate him as with a Leon Edwards and the Colbys and the Gilbert
top
Burns
five
and
to
Usman.
Top seven,
so, but I think he's in the tier below that. And with a bit of work, I think he could get into that tier.
Yeah.
Got a good overall game. Obviously, I don't see him wanting to go to the ground with Maia. I just think he's too athletic. I think Maia will struggle to get him down, and I think he'll probably just piece him up.
Possibly, so, yeah. He does like to get a takedown himself, though.
He does like to get takedowns, but...
Maybe not this fight.
Maybe not this fight. Same as that like Colby likes to get him, but Colby didn't take him down either, did he, really? Yeah, I'm pretty confident on Bilal Muhammad gets the job done here. 5 points.
5 points on Muhammad. Oh, who have you got?
Yeah, I went same. Obviously went for Muhammad. Also went 5 points as well, actually. So I think a big thing that I saw when Muhammad fought Edwards was that Edwards he initiated a couple of grappling like wrestling exchanges, and Muhammad was always too strong for him. He always managed to sort of keep him off him and get taken down. So I can't really see Maia managing to do that, to be honest with you. You know, he was at the end of his career, so interesting stat for Maia is that he's the pound for pound number one MMA wrestler. So as dealt with for, so you know, obviously he gets a hold of, he gets to the mat, and what he does is he's like a magnet, and he's just on top of you. He's so heavy, and I can't see it getting there. And I think, you know, all the times when he's lost fights, is, you know, he struggles to get the takedown, and he's not quite, you know, enough on the feet, and then he just ends up getting knocked out, doesn't he? You know, happened with Burns, happened with Colby, happened with Woodley. Happened with pretty much everyone. So I think, you know, it's going to probably go a similar kind of way for this fight as well, unfortunately. So
yeah,
I went 5 points on Muhammad.
Five on Muhammad. Yeah, again, I'm similar to both of you. It's tough to go with Maia at the minute. If this was 4 or 5 years ago, I'd probably be going seven on Maia. And that's no disrespect to Muhammad, but back then, that's when Maia was on fire. He's currently 3-4 in his last seven. But before his last seven, he was on a 7-fight win streak. 7-fight win streak up until the belt, lost against Woodley, and since then, or including that one, is now 3 wins and 4 losses in his last 7. Maia last fought in March of last year, so it's just over, it's about 15, 16 months since his last fight, where he got obviously knocked out by Gilbert Burns. Before fighting Edwards, Bilal Muhammad was 4-0, and he didn't really lose that fight. Obviously, he got stopped with an eye poke. I think he was losing. I think it was quite comfortable anyone could say he was losing that fight. But he didn't get beat. He got eye poked.
He did nearly get knocked out of a head kick there.
Yeah, but he was still very much in the fight. Well, right up into that eye poke, I like to think. And Bilal Muhammad's never been subbed in his career. No one's ever subbed him. Obviously, we're talking about a different level at the minute. I'm going to go 6 prediction points on Bilal Muhammad.
Wow, people going heavy on Muhammad.
Yeah, though. I think this is one of them fights where maybe the next one might be different, but a lot of points are going on this fight. I think this next fight, all the points are going on this one, but we'll see. So let's move on. So next fight, it's the first ever 5-round, no non-main or title fight. I don't know why I feel like I'm struggling to talk today. I feel like we haven't done this for a while.
It's warm in here, isn't it? That's why.
Warm, yeah.
Get a window open.
Crack a window or something. So we've got Leon Edwards, 29 years old, 18-3, versus Nate Diaz, 36, 21-12. Mostly, who have you got?
Don't know a lot about this Nate Diaz. Has he done a bit before? Is he a bit of a fighter? Has he?
He's had a couple of fights, on TV.
What's kind of his? What's he good at?
He's good at losing fights and then thinking he won the fight.
Did not just say that.
Disrespect in this room.
Put some respect on Nate's name.
Obviously, Nate's like probably like in the top 3 biggest superstars in MMA, and he's such a draw, and he's a mint character. To be fair, he's brilliant to watch. Not just because of his antics and his character, just his style's so exciting to see, isn't it? His boxing's come forward, pressure fighter, volume. The minute he hits the ground, he's always searching for a finish. He doesn't mind being like fighting off his back. He's always looking for that finish. He's an absolute beast, isn't he? Having said that, I'm going 7 points on Leon Edwards because again, I love Leon Edwards, obviously, he's a British fighter, but I'd like to see Nate have one last run, but I cannot see, similar to earlier, I cannot see a path to victory for Nate Diaz here. I've been playing through it in my mind, like all the different mutations and variations, the way the fight can go. I just don't know where he wins the fight. Edwards has got incredible grappling, really good on the top. He's got the better wrestling as well, so he'll decide where the fight goes. And I think he'll just outpoint him and outstrike him, to be fair. And if everyone keeps going, the five round, the cardio will help Nate Diaz. I don't think it will. I think Leon Edwards has got every bit as good a gas tank as Diaz.
Yeah.
Plus, he's been more active.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 7 points, Edwards.
Seven on Edwards. Oh.
Yeah. I think you'd be daft to pick anything else, to be honest with you. You got to love Nate, haven't you? You know, like the way he fights. And I think him as a character, triathlete, hard worker in him. You know, there's that jiu-jitsu lifestyle and that. But I just think, I just don't see how he can possibly beat him. You know, I think Edwards is so much sharper. You know, he's a lot more cerebral on the feet. I think he's going to be setting up with traps. I think he's probably going to knock him out of the head kick. I think Nate doesn't deal with kicks too well. But I think, Edwards is absolutely massive for a welterweight. Like, I'm a welterweight, and I feel like guy's got a good couple of stones on me. And Nate was a lightweight. So, they're almost two weight classes apart from each other, I think. So, it's going to be a power, and I think he's going to get bullied. And I think if I had to say one of these fights enter the stoppage, I would most likely say it was that fight. So, I've won 7 points on Edwards.
Seven on Edwards. Yeah, so Leon's the biggest favourite on the card by quite a big distance.
What are the numbers?
Diaz -500.
Wow. Yeah, so Diaz in English terms for people don't know that, Diaz is 4-1 underdog, which is huge for an MMA fight because there's only really two outcomes. It's not like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's huge. That's like a Chelsea playing Luton or something.
That's like Anthony Joshua fighting a journeyman.
Yeah, it's like you've just said, Musa. I've tried to play this fight out in my head, and it's not like Edwards is the kind of guy that's going to outwork himself into sort of a position where he burns himself out and Diaz can finish him near the end. He's not like that. He's a sharpshooter. He takes his time, picks his shots, moves a lot, lands crisp shots. He's never going to tire himself out. He could probably do it for 10 rounds, not 5. He's not going to brawl. Although, I think, I wouldn't be surprised if they're aware that Diaz's corner is going to think he's going to drag this out. And as soon as Diaz exchanges in that first round, I wouldn't be surprised if Edwards steps forward and puts him away quick. I wouldn't be at all. Diaz is older. He's got a lot of scar tissue. Whether he opens him up or knocks him out, I think he's so much faster and he hits harder than people realise, Edwards. I think he could put him away quick. If not, he'll just drag it out and beat him up until you probably get a doctor's stoppage through bleeding.
I think he's got a point to prove as well with his last performance, and then he were inactive for 2 years as well, wasn't he? And I think he is, probably what you'd say is top three in the division, wouldn't you? So
yeah.
I think he's got a big point to prove. Yeah, I don't understand why he's fighting Nate.
Well, it's a superstar fight. He's got to get a title shot after this. Diaz is 3-2 in his last 5, which is better than I actually expected when I looked it up. And Diaz last fought in November 2019. So it's been a little bit long. Well, it's been a year and a half. Yeah, year and a half. And the winner should get the winner of Usman versus Covington. I don't know if you know that fight's been announced.
Yeah, I saw it on social media, so yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that's where they're going next. So they're not waiting for Edwards to win this fight and then putting him against Usman. Sounds like Kobe's the next guy.
Yeah, is that official then, that, or is it?
That's what Dana said. It came out of Dana's mouth.
Have they got a date as well, have they?
I don't think they've put a date to it, but Dana White on an interview said Kobe's next. So we'll see. Again, I feel like Leon Edwards always gets the sort of shitty end of the stick here. He never seems to get what he deserves. He's just about to fight Nate Diaz. Wait a week so he beats Nate Diaz and then make him the number one contender. Why announce this 1 week before his fight?
The thing is as well, because say if Usman beats Colby, Usman has got every right then to sit out for a good 6 months if he wants, because Usman has been crazy active for a champion.
He's fought three times since the Colby fight. Colby's fought once.
In a generation where champions fight twice a year, Usman is just out there like wanting to beat everyone, fighting the best guy every time. Yeah. So say he beats Colby, there's a good chance he says, no, you know what, like, let me have a few months off and recover. And
might have 9 months off or something. But anyway, so I am going to agree with both of you. I'm going 7 on Edwards. You'd be silly not to. Co-main event, the rematch. Deiveson Figueiredo, 33, 20 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw. Brandon Moreno, 27, 18-5-2. Musa, who have you got?
I'm going for Figueiredo here, mate. I just think the power difference. I know last time was close and stuff, but I can see Figueiredo shocking everyone and coming out and finishing him early this time. I think he'll go away, make the adjustments. And I just think for his size, the guy's power is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen anything like it. He just touches people and they just go to sleep. And I could say, I could be totally wrong, but every fight you've got to look at is a new thing. They've both had long enough now to go away, look at the last fight, make the necessary adjustments. And yeah, I just think Figueiredo's going to just come out and make this one not even close. I think this time he comes out and finishes him. I'm going 4 points on Figueiredo.
Four on Figueiredo. Oh.
Yeah, I went backwards and forwards on this, to be honest with you. First, I thought Moreno's, you know, is a younger fighter, isn't he? And I think he came on a bit stronger at the end of that fight. So I thought maybe he's going to go back and make the adjustments and then come back and get the win. But then, you know, having watched the fight again and watched it a second time, I thought, you know, the amount of damage dealt out was, you can't even compare them. You know, Figueiredo, he's just so explosive. And, you know, he's not got where he is by chance, has he? So I think he probably makes a couple of adjustments. And I think he gets the win, but wasn't super confident. I put 1 point on it. So yeah, I went 1 point on Figueiredo.
One on Figueiredo. I'm actually quite similar to you all in this. How he can put many points on it. Obviously, Musa has. He's very confident in it, but it was very difficult for me to pick. The way I looked at it, I went a little bit of a different way. So even though Figueiredo's got 17 finishes out of his 20 wins, and Moreno's got 13 finishes out of his 18 wins. The way I decided to look at this was, it's not as if I'm a great coach or a coach or a great sort of genius when it comes to MMA. I'm not at all. But when I watched that fight, the adjustments to be made are easier for Moreno than they are Figueiredo. If you watch a lot of the stuff that Figueiredo does, every time Moreno pumped that jab, he'd answer with an overhand right, Figueiredo. Every single time. You watch it. Watch for the overhand right coming after the jab. Every time Moreno throws the jab, he answers it with an overhand right. And I'd like to think if I'm as dumb as I am, I can pick up on this. And I think that's where I'd make the adjustment. That's where I'd try and catch him. I'd fake the jab. When that overhand right comes, that's when I'm going to punish him. I'm sure Moreno's camp will have seen this sort of adjustment to be made. Because it was like every time, literally every single time that jab came out. And because of that, he's younger. I think he's got more chance of making the sort of distance up. He's got that Mexican sort of warrior spirit in him. I don't think you can put him away in one round. I think it's too tough. I'm going to go 1 point on Brandon Moreno. I think he might pull this off. But I'm not confident all of this. Figueiredo is a monster. But I think he might catch him on the overhand right. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. It's something I kept noticing in the first fight, and I watched it again, and it was even more obvious.
I think if he does do it, I think it'll be later on in the fight, because you did see that Figueiredo were fading a little bit, because everything he throws, it's always the overhand right, and it's always big head kicks and that. So, you know, you're not going to be as sharp with those. But and I do think as well, in the first fight, you know, if it weren't for the eye poke, Figueiredo would have won it. So, you know, I think there's that as well. So I think it's 50-50, but... Well, maybe 49-51. You know,
I agree. That's why I've only got 1 point.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's why we're both in that boat. So, main event. The last stylebender, Israel Adesanya, 31 years old, 20 wins, 1 loss, against Marvin, is it the Italian Dream? I think is that his nickname? The Italian Dream? Marvin the Italian Dream, might not be. Vettori, 27 years old. 17-4-1. Musa, who have you got?
Again, this is a close one, isn't it, really? When you look at the first fight, especially, if you're going off that, probably the closest Adesanya's been put, obviously, outside of his loss. In this division, it's probably the closest he's been pushed, maybe. That'll gastle him. Because there was people saying that the Vettori won that first fight. Definitely came on strong at the end, won the last round. And obviously, if he's been watching the last fight and seeing that Jan Błachowicz kind of monstered him in the wrestling, you might be thinking he's got a path to victory there. So it's a tough one, but I'm going to go with Adesanya just for his body of work, especially in this division. He's smashed everyone he's fought recently, and he at middleweight. So I can't just like look past him, really. So I'm going to go with Adesanya, but just 2 points.
2-1 Adesanya.
Yeah. That close? Do you really think it's that close?
So, Ol, who have you got?
I went Adesanya. Went 6 points on Adesanya.
Six on Adesanya?
Yeah, I think you've got to, because he looks as if last fought, so that was 2018 or 19. Vettori has had 5 fights.
Yep.
I would say probably, you'd say the highest ranked person he fought was Hermansson. And then he got this title shot off a short notice winner of Kevin Holland.
Yep.
Then if you compare that with who Adesanya fought, so fought Brad Tavares, Darren Brunson, Anderson Silva, Kelvin Gastelum, Rob Whittaker, Romero, Costa, and Jan Błachowicz. I just think, you know,
undeniably, yeah,
he's improved exponentially, hasn't he? I think, you know, he's fought wrestlers in there. I think the only path to victory that Vittorio's got is to get him down, hold him down. And I think he's a very difficult guy. You know, Błachowicz managed it, but, you know, he's obviously filled into being a light heavyweight now, hasn't he? So I think the fight only goes one way. And I think, again, you know, they don't like each other. And I think Adesanya's going to make a point of putting him away this fight as well.
Yep. I've been going back and forth on this. I actually changed it not too long before we even started this podcast. If we've got the Izzy that fought sort of like Derek Brunson coming out in this, he's an easy win. Obviously, he has fought wrestlers, but for some reason, they haven't wrestled him. If you look at the guys he has the most sort of success with, so your Whittakers and your Brunsons, they don't try and wrestle him anyway. Where Romero didn't wrestle him. Obviously, Jan is a bigger guy. The weight class is 20 pounds above him. And it is a size thing. But I think because Adesanya started that fight so slow, he was getting tired as the fight was going on. Yeah, so I think he needs to come out fairly quick in this fight. If Vittori can drag this fight out to sort of the fourth and fifth round, I think he wins those rounds. The first fight they won, I don't think it was that close. Adesanya clearly won round one and two, I think. And Vittori got three. So there you go, that's your 2-1. I don't think it was as close as they're making out. Obviously, with five rounds, though, that's where the fourth and fifth round are going to be big in this. Both fighters have never been stopped. Vittori's been in the UFC since August 2016. Izzy, February 2018. Obviously, Izzy has no subs on his record either. Marvin has nine. Even when Izzy has someone in a position where he could probably grab a sub and finish him off when he's rocked him, he never goes for it. So if Marvin takes him down, there's little to no chance Izzy's going to throw a sub up. Yeah. To even...
You say that, but like Gastelum, I think you got like Kimura and a triangle on him, didn't he? So he is definitely, yeah, he's got him there.
To create a scramble, I agree. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stick with what I've written down. I'm going to go Israel Adesanya for 2 points. Again, I'm not confident on this at all. That's why I've only gone two. I think you have to go easy. I think he can make the adjustments. We might be able to put him away early. But we'll see. So we've actually all got quite a lot of similar fights there. Apart from maybe the Calderwood and Murphy. And is there another one we've sort of gone different on?
I think you went for Moreno, didn't you?
I went for Moreno, yeah. Other than that, we're all in a similar boat, aren't you?
What did we all go for? Drew Dober?
We all went for Drew Dober. Yeah, we all went for Hill. We all went for Mohamed. We all went for Edwards. We all went for... we all went for Adesanya.
So it's going to be down to point allocation, this one, probably, isn't it?
Yeah, which is why we do the points, because it makes it a lot more interesting to see how confident you are. Now we just have to find out the results of the fights, if we are all right. So yeah, so that'll do us for today then. Again, a little bit slower pace today. I think it's because it's so hot and we're all quite tired, but we will be back, hopefully next weekend, for the Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige. A little bit shorter on that card, 6-fight card. We'll have a little more fun with that. See where we are from this. Read the results out. See if we've got a new champ or not. Do you need to do any plugs or anything?
No, I'm all good. I'm all good.
At all? Any plugs? I know all Musa's foaming at the mouth, ready to go have his take.
Yeah, if I've been a little bit drained today, guys, it's because I'm absolutely starving.
let's call it there then.
Yep. So as always, follow us on Instagram at @thecpwpod. And I think that's it. I feel like I'm blanking out a little bit today, but that's everything. So, see you on the next one.